Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Matthew 25, verse 14, it says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, and to another he gave 1. Each according to his own ability," some translations say capacity. "And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who received 5 talents went and traded them and gained 5 more talents. And in the same manner, the one who received 2 talents gained 2 more, but the one who received 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money." Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for being here with us. Every time that we have the ability to come into your presence, it's a joy. And so we thank you for this time of worship. And as we begin to transition in worshiping you with the word, God, we pray that you will speak a word in season to us as a community of believers, but also speak to us as individuals. I pray, God, every person that's here, that they'll hear your voice and that it'll be very clear what you are calling them to do. We thank you, God, that we're going to be able to impact our world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about a subject called the locks of impact. Turn to your neighbor as you're seated and say, "The locks of impact." The locks of impact. So when Stephen reached out to me and offered the invitation to preach, I was excited. I always love coming to Destiny Harvest. And then to hear the topic impacting your world, I was even more excited because it's a subject that's near and dear to my heart, which is part of the reason that we're planting a church. But as any good preacher or speaker should do, before you begin to craft the message, you should pray. I mean, you know, it's a good idea to pray before you begin to create a message. So I prayed and said, "Okay, God, what is it that you want to say to Destiny Harvest?" And immediately he said a phrase to me, and he said that the impact that you want to have in your world, he wants you to have that and greater. I'll say it a different way. Your desire to have impact in the world, not only does God want to bring that to pass, but he wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask or think according to the area of impact. So then I was like, well, okay, so if from that statement I can extract the fact that God wants you to have impact, God wants you to make a difference in your world, but I can also extract the fact that you want to make an impact in your world. Nobody grows up and says, "I want to be mediocre." Yeah. Nobody says, "Hey, you know, I just want to float through life and just, you know, kind of see what happens when we get there." Every person on the inside as a child, they grow up saying, "I want to be a superhero. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a police officer. I want to be a president. I want to be something that is impacting the world." So I said, "Okay, God, well, if you want them to impact their world, and they actually want to impact the world, then my question is, what's missing?" I mean, based off that, I can just come in and convince you that God wants you to impact the world and that you want to impact the world, go out and change the world. So what's missing? So when I begin to process and dig through the scripture to see what's missing, I came across a story. And before I go into that story, I'd like to ask you a question. Now, when I ask you this question, I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to answer the question. Be honest. My question to you is, why did the Titanic sink? Turn and answer. It's like, wait, we're talking about the Bible. How did he come to why the Titanic sinked? Why did the Titanic sink? The common belief regarding the sinking of the Titanic is that the ship's hull was ripped apart by a submerged iceberg. The time was actually 1912, and the Titanic was the biggest thing that had ever happened. Like, think about the Super Bowl, the World Cup, the NBA Finals, the World Series, and whatever else is important to you, and merge it all together. This was the Titanic. It was so special that there had to be an invite only. It was a big deal to be on the Titanic. And not only was it a big deal to be on the Titanic, it was a big deal to work as a staff on the Titanic. This was going to be the journey that changes everything. And so the time happened Friday night. Everybody came aboard the Titanic, and it was great. Think about the greatest party you've ever gone to in times two. If it was now, people would be Facebook Live, and they'll be doing Instagram Live, Periscope. I mean, everything. Like, this was a big deal. So the ship moves off. The horn goes, "Aah!" I want to make sure y'all awake. The horn goes off, and there's a party. They party, they dance. It's just a good time. We are having a blast. We are on the journey of the Titanic. We are going to change the world. This was the best ship that was ever created. Everybody went. They had a great time. They partied. All of the guests went to sleep. And then all of a sudden, there began to be some chatter amongst the staff. See, what happened, it was routine for one of the crew members to go and pull out the high-powered binoculars that were used to see if anything was going off in the distance. And so when the young man went to get the high-powered binoculars, he encountered a lock. Okay, well, there's a lock, so I'm going to go get the key. So he goes to one person and says, "Hey, do you have the key to the lock?" "Okay, the key to what lock?" "The key to the lock that goes to the binoculars. Do you have that key?" "No, I don't have that key. Such and such has the key." So then he go and talk to somebody else, and they don't have the key. Then he goes to somebody else, and they don't have the key. And finally, it gets to the person who's second in command. "Do you have the key to the lock with the binoculars in it?" The person who had just received the assignment that day to be on the Titanic, he was like, "No, I don't have the key." And all of a sudden, it dawned on him. See, leading up to the night before the Titanic, David Blair was supposed to be second in command. And part of the responsibility of being second in command is to have the key to the lock that holds the high-powered binoculars. And you take those binoculars and you go up to the crow's nest and you're able to see in the distance anything that's coming. Because they did not have the key, they were not able to unlock the lock, and they were not able to get the binoculars. Because they were not able to get the binoculars, they were not able to go and see the iceberg that was coming, and they could not avoid it. So I submit to you that, yes, how the Titanic sank is an iceberg, but why is a lesser-known, more strategic reason. The real reason the Titanic sank is because there was a missing key. There was a missing key that did not become evident until it was time to get the binoculars. As we begin to dive into this topic of impacting your world, I don't need to convince you of the desire that you have to impact the world. As I said earlier, nobody says, I just want to be mediocre. Nobody says, "Hey, you know, I'm going to just float through this life and, you know, next 70 years, you know, YOLO." Like, nobody with good sense says that, right? I don't need to convince you of that. I also don't need to convince you of God's desire for you to impact the world. Each one of us on the inside is this, they say, this God-sized hole that can only be filled by him. Nor do I need to convince you that the world needs you to impact the world. Cut on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and you can see the turmoil and the tension that's happening around us. No, I don't need to convince you of those things. What I do need to convince you of and remind you of, that for you to impact the world, there's a key that's needed. And you need that key so that when you encounter the locks of impact, you'll be able to unlock the lock. The passage that we're using, so I'm going to be honest with you, because, you know, we're family. Destiny Harvest is my second home outside of Lifestyle Church. So I came to a crossroads and I said, "Okay, God, so at this point, do I preach about the key? I mean, after all, you're going to encounter the locks. And so when I encounter the lock, I can't get what's behind the lock if I don't have a key. But then at the end of the day, if I have a key, but then I don't know what the key is for, and I don't know which lock the key is for, like think about that custodian back in high school who walk around with like a big old rain of keys and nobody know what the key goes to except for him. So I'm like, I can preach about the key, but I tell them about the key and then they won't know what lock. But then I tell them about the lock and they won't have the key. So I said, okay, we're going to find a passage of scripture that deals with the lock and the key. And so as we find ourselves here in Matthew 25, we're going to first take a look at the actual key. So the situation that we find, the parable of the talents is what it's called. Jesus is sitting on the side of a mountain with his disciples. Now, this is believed to be the last parable that he shared. And his disciples were like you and I. They had a desire to impact their world. They even saw an example of that in Jesus. Jesus was the one who went and raised Lazarus from the dead. He's the one who multiplied and fed 4,000. He fed 5,000. He opened blinded eyes. He casted out devils. He was the man. And in him being the man, he also told them that what I do, you can do also. Sounds like impact. So he's been talking to them about impact. He even said to them, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And if you live a life according to the kingdom of God, you will have impact. And so they're excited. They believe in it. But they're like, hey, yo, something's missing. I've experienced some of the impact, but there's still something missing. We can relate with that. I've gone to school and I've graduated with honors, but I can't find a job. I got the job of my dreams and it's amazing, but I'm still not fulfilled. I prayed to God for that husband. He came and I said, God, take him back. We've all experienced, I'm sorry, husbands don't have a return policy, so you better, but so we've all been in that situation where we believe in what God has for us. We have the desire, but still something is missing. So that's the question that Jesus is looking to answer, or that's the subject that he's dealing with. So we're going to go through this passage of scripture, and I'm going to put on my teacher hat. And we're going to go through, and I'm going to show you what is the key that's necessary to unlock the locks of impact. So in looking at the key, we find ourselves at our verse of scripture. So I'm going to give you the abbreviated Cliff Notes Rashad version of what just happened in the passage that we read earlier. Okay. So the disciples are like, okay, Jesus, we want to have impact. How do we have impact? He's like, it's cool. I'm going to tell you a story. It's like this. It's like a master who comes and he calls his servants unto him. Now, what's important to highlight is Jesus is talking to his disciples, who have already made the decision for that he is their Messiah, or he's their teacher, or he's the person that's going to follow. So he's saying to them, it's like a master, or it's like me saying to you, hey, I'm going to go on a journey and I'm going to give you some things. And I'm going to give you these things and I'm going to go away. And you're responsible for properly dealing with the things that I give to you. And then when I give you those things, have fun, do what you will, I'm going to go away. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask you, hey, what did you do with what I gave you? And based off what you did with what I gave you, I'll either double it or you'll get the whole judgment piece. Now, the judgment piece deals with the lock, so we're going to put that aside. So right now we're going to focus on the 2 talent and the 5 talent man. So I want to tell you what's the key, but I'm concerned. She said, why? I'm concerned that you're going to make the same mistake that you made with the Titanic. Let's be honest. How many of you, when I said, why did the Titanic sink, you said it was an iceberg? How many didn't answer at all? Anyway. And so I'm concerned when I tell you the key that's hidden through this text is that you're going to make the same mistake. But some of us are just getting to know each other, so I'm going to trust you. So I'm going to tell you what the key is. And we're going to see if you make the same mistake. The key that Jesus told and shared in that story was a key that's called stewardship. Stop. How many of you thought money? Don't raise your hand. See, oftentimes when we hear the word stewardship, we immediately go to money. This parable had nothing to do with money. So to help frame it correctly, I'm going to call the key life stewardship. Life stewardship. See, stewardship simply put, is when an individual entrusts you with something and you're responsible for handing it correctly and giving it back to the individual. So when we look at this aspect of life stewardship, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, hey, if you want to impact the world, the key is for you to take the life that I've given you. Take the gifts and the abilities and the talents. Live it as unto me. Live it as unto my glory. Accomplish what I'm calling you to accomplish and then present it back to me. Some of you don't believe me, so I'm going to go through the four principles of stewardship just to prove that I'm correct. I like being right. Stephanie tells me I like it a little too much, but you know, we're going to leave that alone. So in looking at this passage of scripture, we go to verse Matthew 25. And so the first part that we see is, it says verse 14, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusts his wealth to him. So the master that is here takes his wealth and he gives it to them. So here we see the principle of ownership. The master, you can turn over your note sheet and write these principles down. I've already checked. There's enough space on the back. So the first aspect to prove that he's talking about life stewardship is this principle of ownership. It's the master took what was his and he entrusted it to somebody else. Psalms 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, they that dwell therein. So anything that happens in the earth or anything that's given to us, it is not ours. Because again, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, they that dwell therein. And so the second principle that I want to highlight is found in Matthew 25, verse 15. It says, to one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another he gave 2 bags, and to another he gave 1 bag, each according to his ability. Here we see the principle of responsibility. The principle of responsibility. Jesus was conveying to his disciples that, hey, everything is mine, but I'm going to entrust some things to you. And what I give you, you're responsible for. I want to make one little side note here. It said that he gave to them based off of their ability and based off of their capacity. So they were only responsible for what was given to them. This is an important point because we get caught up in this thing called comparison. We're trying to compare to somebody else and, hey, this person started a business, so I'm going to start a business. This person got all straight A's and went to get their PhD, so I got to get my PhD. And it wasn't about that. It was about based off of their own capacity and their own ability. So you're only responsible for that which the master gives to you. The second piece that we see here, Psalms 115:16 to justify, it says, the Lord of the heavens, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. So God owns everything in the earth and he has placed it into our hands for stewardship. The next principle that I want to highlight is found in Matthew 25, verse 19. It says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. So he came to them and said, hey, I gave you those 5 talents. What you do with it? Hey, I gave you those 2 talents. What you do with it? And Jesus was conveying to his disciples the principle of accountability. I've entrusted you with these things. I've given you these things. And I just want to know, what did you do with it? So as we look at this aspect of looking to impact our world, the question becomes, what am I doing with what the master gave to me? What am I doing with my giftings and my talents and my abilities? What am I doing with those things? And the last point that I will highlight to point out that the key here is life stewardship is found in Matthew 25, verses 21 and 22. I won't read the entire text, but what we see here is the master came and the person who had 5 and dealt with the 5 well, he said, you have managed a few things well, so I'll make you rule of great. The same to the 2. You've managed a few things well, so I'll make you the ruler of great. Here, I want to make a very important point and a highlight concerning this topic of impacting your world. He said you were faithful over a few. So that means based off what they were given, they could have seen it as something small. It's very important that this is called impacting your world and not impacting the world. So many people talk about, I want to change the world. I want to make a difference. But you won't be faithful with what's in front of you. you won't be faithful with the few. We say, hey, if I get $10 million, I'm going to give God a million. I'm going to pay my tithe off that. But you won't pay tithe off of 10. Or we say, hey, you know, God, if you come through on this miracle and you do ABC 1, 2, 3, I'll live for you. Why aren't you living for him now? So in looking at this, it's important for us to recognize the principle of reward or impact. That is, if I'm faithful with what's given me, if I'm faithful with what's in front of me, then the master will give the reward. The master will give the impact. So there is my case that the key is life stewardship. Now, I want to tell you a story to kind of drive the point home in case I lost anybody. I want to tell you a story about the pig and the chicken. The pig and the chicken were walking down the street one day, having a great conversation, and they saw a sign off in the distance. It said, eggs and bacon needed. Chicken stepped back, turned to the pig, said, hey, if you game, I'm game. The pig said, absolutely not. He said, why not? He said, well, for you, it's a contribution. For me, it's a life sacrifice. As we're looking to unlock the locks of impact, we must not approach this topic as a contribution. It can't be, oh, I'm going to give God this little bit and then I'm going to go do what I want to do. It can't be, oh, I'm going to go build this empire. I'm going to build my kingdom and then I'm going to serve God when I'm 50. It can't be, hey, God, I'm going to go out and I'm going to party and I'm going to do everything that I want to do. And then when I'm ready to settle down at 35, then you'll bring me my wife. It cannot be that. If we're going to impact our world, we have to approach this thing called life as a sacrifice, recognizing those of us who are believers, recognizing that Christ died so that I could live. And the fact that he died so that I can live, anything less than giving my life back is less than. So as we go back to the Titanic, we realized that they were missing a key that came evident as a result of locks. And so I want to talk to you about this thing called the locks of impact now that we have the proper key in mind. So I spent 20 minutes building that so that we can really get to the locks of impact. For us to understand we're going to be honest. Most of us in here, there's a hope. There's a dream. There is something on the inside that I want to do that's great. And many of us, the issue is not starting. We've been excited. We're going to go and do this. I'm going to start this business. I'm going to go and save my family. I'm going to do something great. And what ends up happening is we go, we run, and I run into a lock. Wait, but, okay, let me find my keys. That key doesn't work. That key doesn't work. That key doesn't work. Most of us, we have a business idea and may have tried to start the business and then got discouraged. We encountered a lock. So today, I want to spend the next 7 minutes telling you on this journey of impact, you're going to encounter some locks. And the key to you impacting your world is properly dealing with the locks. Amen? So the key is life stewardship. Repeat after me. The key is life stewardship. Now we're going to have fun with these locks. All right, so in looking at the locks, we're going to extract from the one talent man. So the master came to the one talent man and said, hey, I gave you a talent. You gave me one back. What happened? And so the one talent man responded and he said, then the man who had one talent received one bag of gold, came and said, master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. So if you turn back over your sheet, the first lock there is something that we're going to call the lock of expectation. The lock of expectation. See, what happened with this man is he received the talent and he thought about his past. he thought about the past experiences and hey, I know about this man and he does this and that and he does this and that. And so to avoid that, I'm going to go and I'm going to do my own thing because I want to protect my expectations. I don't want to be disappointed. So I'm going to go off and do this or that. So if you're going to go on the journey of impacting your world, you must become aware of the lock of expectations because as an old preacher used to say, the spirit of expectancy is the breeding ground for your miracle. Expectancy is the key to either what I'm going to have faith in. So based off what I expect, that's what I put my time and my energy towards. He was expecting the man to be a hard man and to come back and to give him a rebuke. And so because he was expecting that, he responded based off of that. So as you go on this journey, there's the lock of expectation that you're going to encounter. Now, let me make this point. Locks are not good or bad. They're what's called amoral. So it's some locks keep good things out, and they're supposed to let them in, and some locks let things in that they're supposed to stay out. So the lock is not the issue. It's how I deal with the lock. So when I deal with the lock of expectations, it's important for me to take the key of life stewardship and recognize that my expectation is not in what's in front of me, but it's in the master and what he has given me and what he has called me to do. So I take this lock of expectation and I make sure my expectation is lined up with the assignment he has given me. And if my expectation is lined up with the assignment he has given me, then that becomes the fuel for my faith for me to make it through the journey. So as we go on, it was real quiet. Did I lose y'all? So as we go on this journey of impacting the world, we have to know how to deal with the lock of expectation. The second thing that we see, scripture reference, Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. In this situation, the one talent man trusted in his own knowledge. He trusted in what he thought would happen. He was not trusting in the Lord. The second lock that we encounter, we find in Matthew 25:25. He said, okay, so master, I was afraid. So I went out and I hit your goal into the ground. Here, I want to point out two words. He says, I was afraid and I went out. Here, I want to talk to you about the lock of emotions. The lock of emotions. As you go on this journey of impacting your world, you're going to encounter some emotions. And emotion, again, is amoral. It's not right or wrong. It's what you do with that emotion. One of the greatest definitions that I heard about emotion is that it's energy in motion. So it's energy. So what makes it good or bad is based off what I do with the energy. The emotion's not wrong. Even an emotion like fear. The Bible says, fear thou not. So for him to say, fear thou not, that means situations and circumstances will come where I can fear. And instead of using that energy to go towards fear, I use it to direct it towards something else. Okay, Rashad, that sounds good. So how does that work with this key? Well, we take a scripture like 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So when fear comes to me and I see that lock, I take the key and say, wait, my life is not my own. I live it unto the master. The assignment that I'm doing is an assignment he gave me. And so this fear does not come from him. So because I'm living my life to please him, because I've surrendered my life to him and he's going to protect me, I'm not going to allow this fear to drive me into a negative direction. I'm going to allow the fear to drive me towards him. I'm going to take his word and I'm going to take his commandment and I'm going to exalt it by a greater emotion, love. God has not given the spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. The Bible also says that perfected love or perfect love casts out all fear. So as you go on this journey, there will be emotions. There will be great emotions and there will be bad emotions. There will be highs and there will be lows. Don't be moved by the high and the low. It's all part of life. Don't be moved by the high or low, but look at the emotion through the perspective and with the key of life stewardship. The last lock that we want to point out is found in Matthew 25:26. His master replied and said, you wicked and lazy servant. I want to point out two words. The first one is wicked. Wicked speaks to the condition of his heart. As we said earlier, if I'm living my life as unto the Lord, he has to have my heart. So I won't go down that trail. I want to focus on his pronouncement of calling him lazy. This is the lock of effort. The lock of effort. So in looking at this lock, listen, impacting your world takes work. But after all, anything worth having is worth fighting for and worth putting forth the energy. Talk to any athlete. They'll talk to you just as much about the reward as the work that it takes to get the reward. Michael Phelps will tell you that he would get up every morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 7 days a week, and go swimming back and forth, back and forth. Basketball players will tell you how they would go to the gym early in the morning and shoot around. Entrepreneurs will tell you about 10-hour days and working over and over and over again. So as you go on this journey of impacting your world, it will require work. It will require effort. It will require me partnering with the one who has entrusted these things into me in terms of making a difference. And so when we encounter this aspect of effort, we have to make sure that we see it with the right perspective, though. Because a lot of us, and I'll use myself for an example, we can fall into one of two traps. One trap can be hyperactivity, where we're putting forth too much effort. We're putting forth too much work. And the other one can, based off of our past experiences, get stuck. It's like, I want that, but I can't move. I'm tired of being disappointed. I'm tired of falling down. I've tried to run this race of impact for the past 10 years, and I still haven't seen results. I'ma just sit right here. As we approach the lock of effort, we have to make sure that for us to stand still is not a proper response, nor is hyperactivity, but is to approach the lock with the key of life stewardship, is recognizing, Lord, I recognize that it's going to take effort, it's going to take some work, and I'm down for the work. After all, what else am I going to do? But I want to make sure the effort I'm putting in is the effort that you want me to put in. I want to make sure that what I'm doing and that what I'm putting my hand to, it's what I'm actually doing. I want to go on a 30-second tangent. I am so tired of hearing about people in my age group. I'm 35. People in my age group complaining about not being able to accomplish things. Or they're just busy. Starting this business. Like, you want to be a life coach and your life is jacked up. You want to talk about a relationship and you never had one good relationship. How are you going to coach me about finances and your credit score is 550? What's happening is it's effort, and I just want to be doing something because really I'm lonely, really I'm empty, really I'm insecure. And as opposed to dealing with the loneliness, the emptiness, and insecure, I'm going to go do things, because if I'm doing things, then I'm not focusing on what's right in front of me. I'm going to come off my tangent. So in looking at this, this one became real, real personal to me. We're friends, so I'm gonna tell you about it. So I'm currently in the process of planning a church, and it's amazing. I would not want to be doing anything else. And as I begin, I read the Bible every morning, and I'm spending time with God, and I'm reading through the Gospels, and I came across this passage of scripture that was found in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. The passage of scripture says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the Lord began to talk to me, and I realized I was planning this church. I'm working 7 days a week. I'm working 12-hour days. I am putting forth the effort, and I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm fulfilling the assignment that he gave for me. But I allowed my effort to move from trusting him to beginning trying to do God's will my way. And he said to me, "Rashad, everything that you want for this church, I want it more. But the only way you're going to see that type of impact is if you do my will my way." And he began to minister this scripture to me, and I want to share with you what he shared with me, because I feel like this point of effort, many of you are in one of the extremes. Either you're hyperactive, just doing stuff, just busy, 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 busy. Can't spend time with God, but you can have 10 meetings in a day, just busy. Or some of you are over here where I'm stuck. like, Rashad, I believe you. Like, I believe God has a plan, but I can't move. I can't move. In both situations, you find yourself in the front part of the scripture where you're carrying the burden. You're carrying the weight. You're not using the key of life stewardship. You're using the key of build your own kingdom. And so in this command, it's instructive. The first part, he says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Now, the part that stood out to me that I feel like I've never heard a preacher talk about, he then says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. I heard this passage for the past 18 years, and nobody's ever talked about the learn from me part. So I begin to dig into that learn from me part. And I found out that typically what happened with a yoke was something that you carry. But the more mature, the older ox would stand in front, and you'll take the younger ox and you'll connect them together. And the older ox will begin to teach the younger ox how to carry the yoke. And so what he's saying here is that I want you to impact the world. I want you to make a difference, but you can only do it being attached to me. You can only do it learning from me. For he said, for I am gentle and humble at heart. So it paints this image that he says, come to us, drop down what you're doing, pick up what he's doing. You're not going to stand still. You're going to go on a journey, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to tell you to go right. I'm going to tell you to go left. I'm going to say, no, don't be discouraged by that emotion. And hey, that's just part of the work. I'm going to walk with you. It's a perpetual relationship. So as you move into impacting the world, listen, God wants you to impact your world. You want to impact your world. The only way it's going to happen is by you using the key of life stewardship in the locks of impact, which is an easy way to say you have to stay in relationship with him.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.